Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Thank you for joining in again, brothers and sisters, and thank you for your faithfulness to learn the Word of God and for all of us to come around, be able to fellowship around God's Word. And the main point being, and the most important thing being, that we're around God's Word. We know things will turn out right if we're around God's Word, and we just believe God's Word for what it says. What it says. We just take that English, that King James English, the Elizabethan English, and just believe what God has said. Just believe it. We don't have to have Hebrew and Greek and all these other sorts of things and all these other languages to help us to understand English that we've been speaking since we was a small child. We understand what English is, and so does the Lord. He's the one that made all the languages. So we have our Bible, and we have God's Word, and we believe it, and we accept it for what it says, and that's good. Today we're going back into our study of reconciliation. This, I believe, is our fourth class on reconciliation. We've had some interesting classes, and I've learned quite a bit, haven't you? And what the Bible has to say, and the avenues that it takes concerning reconciliation, and how important it is, and how vital it is in a human being's life and in a Christian's life. So this is study number 18B, the third study of the letter R and the ABCs. We began talking about that, how reconciliation is included with redemption and propitiation and all those things that we had talked about before. And then we went into defining reconciliation, and we used scriptural illustrations and looked in our Bibles to see reconciliation in those definitions, and indeed we did see it. And then we talked about first things first. We just put everything on hold, and we stopped, and we said, wait just a minute, we need to find this out first. And what did we find out? We found out what a human being's state is, that you have to understand what kind of state you are in as a human being. In other words, dogs don't bark to become dogs. Remember that? Cats don't meow to become cats. They meow because they are cats. And man does not, they do it because that's what they are. And men do not sin to become sinners. That's a big mistake among human beings now, as far as they're being reconciled to the Lord and thinking that they're going to sin less and get God's favor. Of course, God wants us to sin less. Yes. But that's not the issue of being reconciled with the Lord whenever you are lost. When you are born with the Adamic nature, you are born under a curse, and it's the Adamic nature, and you are cursed, and you are in a fallen state, and you are lost. You're lost and in a world without God, the Bible tells us, and that's our state. But first, we have to figure out that our state needs to be reconciled. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Excuse me, I got something hung in my throat. I apologize for that. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So a man on his own cannot reconcile himself back to God. He has to have an avenue to be able to change his state, and he can't change his state on his own. No man can be as good as God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And see, that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, God in the flesh. Jesus came and took on a body, and he lived a perfect and sinless life, and then he went to the cross of Calvary and sacrificed that body and shed that blood, God's blood, shed that blood to not only forgive so God could forgive sins, but now he could take sins away And therefore, being able to do that, God could legally do that and do it and still retain his holiness and not compromise at all. He could reconcile sinners back to himself now. Not only forgive the sins, but take them away and reconcile the sinners back to him, bringing them into his family as sons of God. That's what being born again is. That's what being saved is in the Bible. That's what salvation is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made the perfect plan. He put the perfect plan together, and he executed that plan. And it is in a state of activity now. Salvation is active. God made it to where a human being can obey the Lord and obey his word and what it says about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and confessing him by faith and receiving him as your Savior and being born again and having God's promise that you are now reconciled and brought into the family of God and accepted in the Beloved, and that you will never be estranged from the Lord again. Isn't that wonderful? We went over that last time on our last study, and we went over it in detail, and we had a plan of salvation, and we gave a plan of salvation. And I hope that if you're listening to this and you accepted the Lord the last lesson and you are now participating in our lessons, the Lord bless you for that. You continue doing that. You're doing right. You're doing right. That's what God's will is for you now, that you're born again. His commandment to you is a step of obedience to be baptized, and you can talk to your pastor or talk to another Christian that you know and arrange that to take place, which has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It's a step of obedience. It is a symbolic thing. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, being submerged in water and brought back up, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which symbolically shows what has already happened to you and what you have placed, where you have placed your faith and what you have placed your faith in or upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, so we paused, and we had a invitation, and if you got saved and you are now in class with us, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to have you. And if you've already were saved and you went through the plan of salvation, it should have just solidified that for you and nailed it down and put a smile on your face and joy in your heart that God's word doesn't change. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to start now. Now that we understand what our state is and what it was and what it can be and how to get that corrected with the Lord, we can now move on and see some things about reconciliation and some more things in the Bible having to do with us being saved and understanding what the Scriptures say about reconciliation. The first thing we're going to go into and talk about is the condition of man before... Excuse me, I got a mosquito trying to bite me. The devil does anything he can. I mean, anything. You say, well, that mosquito just... Listen, I've been at this long enough to... If a mosquito tries to bite me when I'm teaching or preaching, I blame it on the devil every time, and rightfully so. The condition of man before he is reconciled. Now, some of these things these topics that we're going to go over today, we've already discussed, but we discussed it under a different avenue, and you'll see that as we go. But the first thing that we're going to talk about is the condition of man before he is reconciled. What's the condition of a man before he gets reconciled to God, before he is reconciled? Well, the first thing is that he is helpless and without strength. Does the Bible teach that? Is he helpless and without strength? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, for when we were, talking about we, me and you, for when we were yet without strength, we couldn't do it on our own. We didn't have the strength. We didn't have the ability. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. The condition of a man before he is reconciled is that he can't help himself. And that's one problem with the world today, is that they're trying to figure out how to help themselves without including God and His plan and His Word in it. They want to get favor with the Lord and get back in good standing with the Lord and be reconciled with the Lord, but they can't do it. They don't have the ability. They're helpless and without strength. That's what the Bible says. And another thing, the condition of a man before he is reconciled is that he's a sinner. He is a sinner. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. I've had people tell me that they're not sinners. I'm not a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Do you sin? Yeah. Then what's that make you? I'm not a sinner. I refuse to be a sinner. What nonsense is that? Come on. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The condition of a man before he's reconciled is that he's helpless, he's without strength, he is a sinner. What else? Well, he's the enemy of God. There's a lot of people out in the world today that refuse to believe that God would have them as an enemy. That a holy and righteous God and a good God wouldn't have enemies. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. And if you're not born again, you're one of them. And we were one of them before we were reconciled before the Lord, reconciled unto the Lord. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for if when we were enemies, now either the Bible is lying to us and God's just messing with our heads, or either we were enemies. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Think about that just a minute. You were the enemy of God. And God was your... If you're the enemy of God, what's that make God to you? Your enemy. He is an enemy of God. What are we talking about? The condition of a man before he is reconciled. He is helpless and without strength. He is a sinner, and he is the enemy of God. When you're walking around during the day, brothers and sisters, and you're bumping shoulders with the world, I'm just going to make a wild guess. 95% of the people that you run across in your daily activities are enemies of God. I don't mean that they're walking around hating and spitting at God and everything like that, but their state is that they are God's enemy. And an enemy is an enemy. The condition of a man before he is reconciled. What else? Well, he is hostile. He's indifferent, and he is a God hater. You say, I didn't hate God before I got saved. You don't think you hated God. What's the Bible say? In Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, listen to this. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Oh, yes, you was a God hater. And so was I. We was running around and letting our minds just play and be as wicked as we possibly could. And you that were, sometimes we were alienated and enemies in our minds. How? By wicked works. Was you wicked before you were reconciled to the Lord? Yes, you was. Well, according to that, you were had an alienated and enemy and were an enemy in your mind against God. But now, hath he reconciled? Yet now hath he reconciled. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So we see the condition of a man before he is reconciled. It's not complicated, brothers and sisters. It's very simple. Very simple. Before reconciliation, before being born again, you were helpless and without strength, a sinner and an enemy of God, and you were hostile, indifferent, and a God-hater. And that's the bottom line. And that's what every unsaved person, the state of what they are, is at this very moment. And if they die in that state, they die in their sins, they die with their sins on them and in them, and they die and they go to hell as an enemy of God, without strength and indifferent and a God-hater. I don't know, but I've heard both ways about the people that are in hell this very second, that they're calling out to the Lord to get out of, please God, get me out of here, I won't never do, you know how that is. And then, but there are those that say by what the Bible teaches that they're cursing God and blaspheming Him. And that makes pretty good sense, because even the people that are not in hell, the Bible teaches us what we just learned right now. This is the state that people are in before they get reconciled and get born again. Okay. Well, during the tribulation, when God starts raining down His wrath upon this earth and the wickedness of men, the Bible says God's going to make the sun so hot that it scorches men and they cuss Him for it. Instead of repenting and getting saved and calling out for God's mercy, instead of that, they cuss God. The condition of a man before he's reconciled is pretty rough. We were without strength and helpless and sinners and enemies in our minds, and we were indifferent, hostile toward God, and God-haters. Aren't you glad God saved us? Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. It's an amazing change the Lord makes in your mind and in your heart. Now we love the Lord, and He's precious to us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. The condition of a man before he's reconciled. All right, let's move on. What else? Well, how reconciliation is accomplished. How is reconciliation accomplished in the Scriptures? Well, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19, it's by God being in Christ. That is how reconciliation is accomplished, is by God being in Christ. Actually, Christ is God Himself in the flesh, but by God being in Christ. Let's read the Scripture. You'll see what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 19 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." God come down from glory, humbled Himself, was the seed of God was placed in Mary, and he became flesh, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, God in the flesh, and was incarnated into the flesh. He put on flesh. That's what incarnation means. He put on flesh. He was incarnated in the flesh, born of a virgin, lived 33 and a half years in that body, went to the cross, was crucified, died, was buried, and resurrected in that body, and ascended back to his heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. That is a wonderful thing when you get to thinking about that Godhead, that Christ himself, Jesus told one of the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you get to thinking about that thing, boy, it'll blow your mind away the way the Lord's done that thing, the way he's done that thing. Christ is God in the flesh. And that's why people deny the Lord's deity, saying that Christ was not God. Christ was a prophet, or Christ was, he was not God. But he was, and he is. He's the Son of God, because he was born a son. He wasn't Jesus until he was born in the flesh, and they named him Jesus. Who was he before he was in the flesh? The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory. By God being in Christ, how reconciliation is accomplished. It could not be just a regular man. A man that's born of a woman could not take care of this reconciliation problem. It had to be God to take care of it. And God came and become a man and took on flesh, and they named him Jesus, the Son of God, and reconciliation has been accomplished and made available. All right, what else? Well, by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, reconciliation is accomplished not only by God being in Christ, but by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Very important. Without that death, you couldn't get back to the Lord. The Bible says, he that sinneth, sin brings forth death. Well, Christ never sinned, but he did die. So his death is a credit to something, because he wasn't worthy of death. We are worthy of death because we sinned. Sin bringeth forth death. Christ came and voluntarily died by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, listen to this. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Reconciliation is accomplished and made possible by the death of his Son, by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you think that you're going to get to heaven by riding a donkey around the church backwards 13 times and saying 45 Hail Marys and giving your money to such and such and pulling big stones around with flesh hooks in your back and strings attached to it and going through a bunch of sacrificial pain voluntarily and all this sort of business and sacrificing and making sacrifices, you're mistaken. You're deceived. You're lying to yourself, because that's nowhere in the Bible. Reconciliation is accomplished by God being in Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son. If Jesus did not die, you could not be reconciled because there was no payment available. And men been searching for it since Adam. What did Cain do? Cain and Abel. Remember the sacrifices? Who brought the wrong one? You see that thing? All right. What else? How reconciliation is accomplished? Well, it's accomplished by not only God being in Christ and the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, but by the blood of Christ Jesus. His blood. His blood is one of the is part of one of the ordinances, of the two ordinances, orders that the Lord Jesus Christ left us to the church before he left. One of them was baptism. The other was the Lord's Supper. And the elements in the Lord's Supper are the blood and the broken body, which represent symbolically his death till he comes. The blood. The Lord left a symbolic ordinance for us to observe concerning his blood. So his blood is very important. It's God's blood. Your blood has been a problem for you since you've been in existence. That's part of man's problem, is his blood. And we'll get into that on another study somewhere. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13, listen to this. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. The Bible teaches us that reconciliation is accomplished by God being in Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and by the blood of Christ Jesus. By his blood. By his blood. And what else? Well, one more thing. How reconciliation is accomplished? Well, it's accomplished by the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of people that underestimate them black and white words sitting in front of you right now in that book. The Bible says, it liveth and abideth forever. God's Word, with God's words which make up his Word. They are written in a book. And they are alive and powerful. What's the Bible say? The Word of God is quick, alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And that little old book with those words in it right there knows you and can figure you out. And can nail you down. And call you out. And if you're any kind of honest Christian, you know that's true. And you know there is a mystery, a great mystery, about that book. It's God's words. And it's alive. And it lives. It liveth and abideth forever. So don't let none of these... I don't even know what to call them, but these people that walk around and declassify God's words and bring it down and bring God's word and the importance of God's word and lower it and put themselves above God's word, shame on them. Because the Bible says that God himself magnifies his word above his own name. Who is a man to try to devalue the words of the living God? You better be careful, friend. You mess with God's word, he'll mess with your mind. He's done it with many. But what are we talking about? We're talking about how reconciliation is accomplished by God being in Christ, by the death of Jesus Christ, God's Son, and by the blood of Christ Jesus, and by the Word of God. Let's look at some scripture concerning that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, it says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word that reconciles people. Hath committed unto us, that's how you got it, is he preaching. He wrote it down and wrote down God's words and put them in a book. And that book has been passed down and copied and copied and copied and passed down and passed down and preserved and kept perfect and inerrant. And you got a copy of it. And you know what they know. That God the Holy Ghost is all through that book. And that God's words are alive. That's why we're here studying it right now, because we respect them and believe them, right? Yes, we do. But the Bible says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation by the word of God. By the word of God. How reconciliation is accomplished? By the word of God. Was the word of God involved in your salvation? Yes. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. You know this verse. The Bible says this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Even a child can understand what that means. Susie, what's that verse mean? Listen to this verse. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Well, Brother TV, that means that you're saved by God's word. That God's word can save you. Is God's word alive? Yes. Well, how do you know? Because the Bible says that it lives. Is it going to be around for a long time, Susie? Yeah. Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says it's going to abide forever. Even a child can figure that out. Don't you underestimate children. They know. They know, and they believe. Do us good to believe like them sometimes. By the word of God. How reconciliation is accomplished? By the word of God. Here's another verse. John 6:63. Listen to what it says. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Now, what's quickeneth mean? To make alive. To bring to life. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Remember we read the other day that no man by the works of the flesh was going to be reconciled to God. Remember that? You can't get back to God by the flesh. Anything having to do with fleshly profiting. Okay, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now I remind you, this is Jesus talking. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now listen to this. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. So, if you're going to be reconciled, your spirit has to be quickened, brought back to life. which being born again accomplishes. And you have to gain life. And the only way to get life is by your spirit being quickened. And your flesh is not going to help you out with that. So what's Jesus say? It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The very words that we're reading right this very second are words of spirit and words of life. They're alive. They liveth and abideth forever. Why is that so hard for people to believe? I know that that book is alive. Don't you? Don't you? You can't get away with reading God's Word. You go downtown and hold that book, go down and get in a big crowd in the middle of anywhere where a big crowd hustle and bustle and everything else, and hold that Bible up in the air and say, "The Bible says," and watch what happens. Or just go out there and open the Bible up and start reading it and watch what happens. Don't bother nobody. Don't even look at them. Ignore everybody. Just start reading the Bible out loud and watch what happens. You don't think that book's a lie? You don't think it makes a difference? It makes a difference even when you ain't trying to provoke something. What are we talking about? We're talking about how reconciliation is accomplished. We talked about the condition of man before he is reconciled. Let's talk about one more thing for today's lesson. The benefits of being reconciled to God. The benefits. We have seen the condition of man before reconciliation. We have seen how reconciliation is accomplished and how a person can be reconciled. Went over that on our last lesson. And let's look at this now. The benefits of being reconciled to God. Well, the first thing is one now has peace with God. Isn't that wonderful? That's worth everything alone by itself. It's just knowing that you have a relationship with God now, and that you have peace with Him. And we are sons, and that God loves us, and He cares about us. The Bible says, "For He careth for you." The Bible says that God cares for you. Doesn't that comfort you? One now has peace with God. You're not only not God's enemy anymore, you're in His favor, and He cares about you and wants to take care of you and is going to take care of you. And He's going to see that you get home with Him and you get to live with Him forever. Isn't that wonderful? That's what man is looking for anyway. That's what he's searching for, is peace. Peace, peace, peace. We're going to bring in the kingdom and have peace. No, you're not. Peace, 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 the Bible, they say. And there is no peace, the writer said. And there will be no peace until the peacemaker gets here, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to bring in peace on earth. But one now has peace with God. What's the Bible say about that? Well, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible's either right or wrong. It's either telling us the truth or it's lying to us. And we know better, don't we? The Bible plainly said, without any kind of mystery or deception at all, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you can believe and call the devil a liar every time he tells you that God is mad at you. If God's angry with you as a son, as a child, he'll let you know. Because he scourgeth every son, and he chastens every son, and he corrects us, and he has begun a work in you, and is going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and he is conforming you into the image of his son. He's making you like Jesus. Piece by piece, by piece by piece, he's doing it. But when it comes to peace, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The benefits of being reconciled to God. One now has peace with God. Ephesians 2:15 backs that up. It says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. What's enmity? Well, people being enemies, hating one another, being enemies. Having abolished in his flesh, Jesus, in his flesh, the enmity, enmity between who? Even the law and commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Remember, we talked about that when we was talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, and all the enmity and the commandments and the ordinances and everything else being in the middle of everything and all such business as that. Well, the Lord changed all that. When he offered up his flesh, and he died, was buried, and resurrected, and ascended back to the Father, he made peace with everything, with everybody, with exception of the lost and the ones that are God-haters and enemies of God that don't want anything to do with the Lord and want to be wicked and want to continue sinning and lapping up their sin and don't care. Matter of fact, the Bible says, they have pleasure in them that do that things. In other words, they not only like it theirself, but they like everybody else that does it. And in this 2024 and 2025 year that we're living in, you can see that business out there in the world. 50 years ago, you couldn't see sin in the world, in the environment. I mean, if you've seen it, it was just a flash that went by. Nowadays, it's open and bragged about and even clapped over. Whole different scenario. The benefits of being reconciled to God, one now has peace with God. You have peace with God, brothers and sisters. What else? Well, one now has access to God. Before you got saved, God wouldn't listen to you. He didn't want nothing to do with you. You was on your way to hell, and he, you know, matter of fact, you was just pretty well lucky all the life that you lived walking on thin ice, because if you'd have tripped and fell through that ice or broke through that ice and went into eternity, you were doomed. You was already doomed, but the sentence would be carried out. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Once you die, that's it. But you don't have to worry about that now. One now has peace with God, and one now has access to God. You can talk to the Lord anytime you want to. Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, you can converse with him. You can talk with him. It says, by whom also we have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By whom also we have access, by faith. You can go to the Lord and talk to him, and he will listen to you. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news. Have you ever talked with the Lord, and he answered you? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Yep. It's beautiful being able to talk with the Lord. What peace it gives you, and the joy in your heart, and the comfort, and the confidence that it gives you, that we have a God that's all powerful, that was, we were once enemies in our mind, and the Lord went through all what he went through and accomplished all he accomplished, and then gave it to us. And all we had to do was just accept it and say, okay, Lord, I want to be saved, and I believe you. And he saves us, and then he starts working on us. and conforming us into the image of His Son. And then the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to present us before the Father gloriously. He's going to present us to His Heavenly Father. Can you imagine that? One now has access to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, listen to this. For through Him, who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We both have access by one Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, unto the Father. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Talking about the Jews and the Gentiles and everybody that's saved and born again through Jesus Christ. You have access to the Lord. The Bible says so. You don't have to get anybody's permission or go to any kind of father or intermediary. You're intermediary, or however you say that. There's somebody that's interceding for you. You're in-between person. God the Holy Ghost takes what you say through Jesus Christ to the Father. That's how it works. Because the Bible says we don't know how to pray like we ought to pray. Because God doesn't think like us. And God doesn't communicate like us. So when we pray to Him, it has to be kind of put in God's language, I guess. And God the Holy Ghost knows how to do that. To where God will accept it and it'll be right before the Lord when He gets it. Because of His holiness and sovereignty. You can't just say any old thing, any old way, any old how. He's God. You see that thing? But the Lord even fixed that thing up for us. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Unto the Father. The benefits of being reconciled to God. One now has peace with God. One now has access to God. And what else? Well, one, whether Jew or Gentile, is no longer under the curse of the law. The law cannot harm you now. Before, the law cursed you. The law was your condemnation. It's what said that you were condemned and are going to be condemned. The law. The law. Because you couldn't keep the law, and the law condemned you because you broke it and transgressed it and trespassed it. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and 15 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For, listen to this now, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law? But under grace? God forbid. We're not under the law anymore. When you got saved, you got moved out from under the law. Jesus paid all the penalty. Jesus paid the penalty. He paid the law for your salvation with His death and His blood. The law's been paid. Jesus done that for you. You're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. But under grace is a big responsibility, because now we don't be good because we have to. We do right because we want to, because we love the Lord and what He's done for us, because we're under grace. We have liberty. We're no longer in bondage anymore under the law and can't get out from under the law. We're out from under it. Jesus took us out from under it. There are no more thou shalt nots. Now, Jesus left us with instructions, and the Apostle Paul has told us some things that we need to abide by, and some of the other writers in our New Testament, and that's good, because we need leadership, and we need to be told what to do. But as far as being under the law and the curse of the law, you are not. Whether Jew or Gentile, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no longer under the curse of the law. Amen? All right, here's Ephesians chapter 2. Let me read that to you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity." What was the enmity? Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The law always ordering you around. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. Thou shalt not do this. "For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God," talking about Jews and Gentiles, "both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby." You see, them Jews, they still go by the law. Orthodox Jews, they go by the law, and just like the Sadducees and the Pharisees and all that stuff, all them people that Jesus talked to while he was here and argued with all the time and told them about their law and Moses and everything else. The law is good. The law is good if you can keep it. The law is good if you keep it, but if you can't keep it, it curses you, because it condemns you. Thou shalt not, and you did, and you're condemned. And if you offend in one point, the Bible says, if you mess up one time, according to God's law, what's it say? You're guilty of all of it. Wrong in part. Wrong in whole. And Jesus took us out from under all that. One, whether Jew or Gentile, is no longer under the curse of the law. What are we talking about? The benefits of being reconciled to God. You're no longer under the law. Okay, what else? Well, one is no longer under God's wrath and God's damnation. God's not going to damn you. He's not going to condemn you. He's not going to condemn you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." What part of that verse saves you? The believing part. Baptism has absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. It's the believing part that damns you if you won't believe. You can get baptized all you want to, but that's going to keep you damned. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You don't have to worry about that anymore. You believed, and you're saved. And God's not going to condemn you or damn you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." You see, because you got saved, that didn't stop the wrath of God. The wrath of God is coming, man. The Bible even says that specifically, the wrath to come. Look that up in your Bible. It's there. The wrath to come. God's wrath is coming. And it's on people. It was on you. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him," Jesus. We're not going to get it from God. God's not going to come. His wrath is not going to be exercised on us, not even pointed toward us. We have peace with God. One is no longer under God's wrath and damnation. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." Did you know that? It's coming. You see, the world keeps playing around. And boy, are they walking on thin ice. Because as soon as that wrath breaks forth, when the Lord comes and he gets us and catches us out of here, tribulation starts, and about halfway through that tribulation, man, is the wrath of God going to be unleashed. It's coming, the wrath of God. God is just gracious enough during this age of grace to offer up salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, absolutely free of charge, for the taking, anybody, whosoever, and you know the majority is going to rule against and wait for the wrath of God. And it's coming. But if you've been born again, the benefits of being reconciled back to God is that you're no longer under the wrath and the damnation of God. You don't ever have to worry about that, ever. God's not mad at you. He's not going to be mad at you. He's not going to be wrathful at you. He's not going to damn you in any way, shape, or form. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 through 15. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. You see that thing? The Bible says, not by righteousness, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. Remember, that's how we got saved. It was by faith, by grace, by faith, through grace and grace. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The wrath of God. And damnation. Just because we got saved did not cancel out the other parts of God's word where it talks about wrath and damnation. It's coming. But you don't have to worry about that. That's a benefit that you have for being reconciled back to the Lord, as you no longer are under God's wrath and damnation. And one more. What else? What's a benefit of being reconciled back to God? One's reconciliation to God can never be undone. Whoopee! Aren't you glad there's nothing that you can do to get out of God's family now? You can't give your salvation back. I don't know any fool that would want to do that. But I don't know anybody that would even try that. I hope nobody, I don't even know anybody could get in the frame of mind or the frame of heart even to be in the most disobedient, disrespectful child born again, walking around in the world. The only thing that would happen would be the Lord would turn you over to the destruction of the flesh and kill you and bring you home early. But he still wouldn't damn you. And he sure wouldn't throw you out of the family. God's not like that. Once a son, always a son. John chapter 17, verse 24, the Bible says, Father, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the real Lord's Prayer. Psalm 23 is not the Lord's Prayer, folks. John chapter 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Read it. John 17, 24, the Lord is praying for us. He says, Father, I will that they also, talking about us, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He prayed for the Father, prayed to the Father for us, that everybody that believes on me and comes into the family, Father, I want them to be with me. That's what the Lord said. Your reconciliation can never be undone. The Lord Jesus Christ asked the Father, not only is it not going to be undone or you be kicked out of the family or any sort of thing like that, the Lord Jesus Christ said he wants you with him. And I want to be with him, don't you? I'm sick of this world. This world is filthy. It is so not like God and getting worse and worse. And even the people that say God's name are not like God anymore. Romans chapter 8, listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's who just prayed for us. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that means he don't doubt it one bit. He says, I'm persuaded of this. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's a benefit? A benefit of being reconciled to God. We're talking about reconciliation. That's our study, reconciliation. You've been born again. You've been reconciled. You're back in a state of favor with the Lord. You're one of his sons in his family. Now you have peace with God. You have access to God. And whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you're no longer under the curse of the law. Even though the law is good, you have to keep it. And see, you don't have to keep it because Jesus kept it. We do our very best not to offend the law because we respect God's word and respect his law, but we're under grace. We're not under the curse of the law anymore. And what else? You're no longer under God's wrath and damnation. And one's reconciliation to God can never be undone. Amen. Amen. Good stuff, huh? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Do you know all that stuff that the Bible talks about concerning reconciliation? You see how important that thing is to you? You see what it's done for you and the things that it's taken off of you? Reconciliation, how important it is to be reconciled back to God. Very important. Not just some Sunday salvation. Very important. All right, well, we're going to stop right there. I'm going to give you these verses, brothers and sisters. Are you ready? Let me give these to you. And I think we started the condition of man before he's reconciled, we talked about. Here we go. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. And then we went to Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18 and 19. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 10 again. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm going too fast for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. John chapter 6, verse 63. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 13 through 15. John chapter 17, verse 24. That was the Lord praying for us. And the last one for today is Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. You say, that's a lot of scripture. Yeah, and you studied all that. You honored the Lord, and you read His word concerning reconciliation. You didn't just make up no make-believe bunch of garbage and go to the Greek and Hebrew and all that sort of business. You just read God's word and seen what it said. What did you see what it said? Well, you seen what it said about how reconciliation is accomplished. You seen what it said about the condition of man before reconciliation and the benefits of being reconciled back to God. God's word told us every bit of it and explained it to us simplicity. Is that a word? Simply. Simply. The simplicity of Christ, brothers and sisters. God's word is beautiful. And I'm glad we have it. And I'm glad He's given it to us to study. And I thank you so much. And I love you with Christ's love for disciplining yourself to study God's word. It ain't no secret to me that you have to discipline yourself to do it. I know how the enemy is, and I know what he does to try to keep you away from God's word. I know that. And I know every time you show up and you're studying and you're turning them pages and you're reading them scriptures and stuff like that, the enemy hates you for that. And he's trying to discourage you and get you away from that book. That's what he's doing. The biggest thing the enemy's doing in your life is trying to get you away from that book. Yep. All right, well, we're going to stop right there, and we're going to continue on our next one, and we're going to talk about some warnings concerning reconciliation. You say some warnings? Yeah. Some warnings in the Bible about reconciliation. The Lord bless you. It's Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next study, okay? If the Lord will. Bye-bye.